Are you listening to this at home? Or maybe in your car? What if your home and your car were the same place?
When I think back to the times we had to live in the car, we figured out that if we would stay two nights in the car and then get a hotel room, shower, get everybody, you know, all ready, everything, then do two nights in a car, like, we were able to save a little bit that way. I'm Elizabeth Herrera, married to David Lima. And we have four children together. David Jr. is 13, Ezekiel who's 12, Gabriel who's 9, and Robin who's 4. We're living here at Hamilton Families right now.
Hamilton Families is an agency that supports homeless families with services and transitional housing. Before they moved here, Elizabeth's family spent 15 years without a stable place to stay. I'm Lisa Rudman, and I'm teaming up with Elizabeth Herrera to bring you her family's story. In San Francisco, there are super high rents and very little affordable housing. COVID-19 increased unemployment and evictions. Even before the pandemic, African American and Latinx families were at the center of the housing crisis. So this story, Elizabeth's story, is about housing, invisible families, and finding home.
You're invisible because of the fact that you're, like I said, not out in the streets. You're not in a tent. You're not at a shelter. And at the same time, you kind of want to be invisible because you're scared of what can happen because you have kids. So you're like, you don't want to be noticed right away. So you're trying to keep up appearances as much as you can that things are okay. So you're trying harder than ever to make sure everybody's clothes are washed, make sure everybody's fed, make sure everybody's asleep at a certain time. A lot of families were like us that we met along the way that were in the rest stops and in campsites that were just in the middle of waiting. There was points where we were on list and we were waiting and, you know, we were like, oh, hey, we switched and we're at a motel now. We got a motel for a week. And they would tell us like, well, now you're bumped down the list because you're inside. You have, you know, housing over you. We're like, oh, man, maybe we shouldn't have said anything. Yeah, I understand, you know, there's lots of people who need help. There's lots of things that are going on. You know, you have priority are given to people who have substance abuse issues or domestic violence issues, or, you know, they have court orders or CPS cases they have to take care of. So all those people are taken in, you know, right away, priority, and the rest of the people waiting on the list are having to, you know, call in, check in every week and letting them know, yeah, we're still in the street. Yeah, we're still in the street. But weeks and weeks go by.
Meanwhile, as the six of them waited and living in their car, they were still working and going to school. In the U.S., a third of the overall homeless population are families. That includes more than 1.5 million children.
A lot of families are really close to being in similar situations without even knowing it themselves. Like, if people really stopped and thought about, like, what would happen if I lost my job today? You know, how long could I continue living the way that I'm living now? I feel like a lot of people don't really take that into consideration because they're so caught up in their everyday life. People tend to, you know, look at you like, wow, how did this happen, you know? Or like, you know, how did you get yourself into this situation? And it's like, it's so easy. You lose your job, then you can't pay your rent. You're given an eviction notice, right? Now you have nowhere to go.
Elizabeth and her husband, David Lima, both grew up without stable housing. Back then, kids without parents only got support up to age 18, and then they were on their own.
Well, I think for both of us, just because of the way we grew up, I guess you would consider us chronically homeless. We didn't have our parents with us, either one of us, and we were bounced around between family members. You know, we came with a check and food stamps. Whoever was willing to watch us had us. And then it kind of got to the point where we were already 18 and, you know, nobody wants to just take care of 18-year-olds. So both of us kind of ended up on the path where we were just bouncing around between like friends' houses and really nowhere to go. And that's how we met, because we both ended up at Job Corps, which was like the, you know, they had a live-in program. You could go to school and get a certificate. And we were probably a couple of the only people there that weren't there because of like a court case or being, you know, forced by their parents. Like, we really were like, we have nowhere to go and this seems like a good idea. And that's where we ended up meeting each other. He got his diploma, I got my GED. We graduated, we had tried to move out and get a place. So you're like, let me go to a motel, which can add up really fast if you stop and check, you know, weekly rates and monthly rates. And from staying somewhere like that, next, maybe you're spending more gas money because you're traveling further because the motel you're at, and then now you're spending money eating out all the time because you don't have a kitchen to cook in or to keep food in. Essentially, you completely lose your ability to save anything at that point because everything is being used. Sometimes you're even starting to go into debt because you don't have enough. So you're like, well, let me get this payday loan, or let me get, you know, whatever it is just to get through. And before you know it, you're just stuck in a place where you're like, well, it's either, you know, we have to sleep in a car or do something else. It's going to be the only way to save any money or try to get anywhere. And you get on all these lists for these places. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize either, to get this help, you can't be staying in a motel. You can't be staying at, you know, your parents' house in the garage or on the living room floor. They don't count that as emergency or qualifying as homeless.
After David and I got together, we started to grow our family. We struggled to find housing and create a good life for our kids. We just tried to make the best of the continually changing living situation.
We were living in the car and we had nowhere to go. We never said, like, we're homeless people sleeping in the car. We called it car camping. Every day we were going to a new park. We were seeing a new place. We made it an adventure. We'd get ready in the bathroom at the rest stop before school and work.
Those last comments of mine were from a short New York Times op-doc film called What You'll Remember by Marsha Jarmel and Erica Cohen. I received a cinematography credit for it since I filmed it all from my iPhone. It centers around a letter that I wrote to our kids for the future. I've started this letter for you guys many times. There's so much I want to say, it's hard to know where to start. I hope you guys don't remember the stress. I hope you don't remember the fighting. It's easy to dwell on those things. Your positivity and your spirit just, it's always there and it's contagious and it helps us get through everything. Never forget that home, it's not a building. Home is where your family and the people you love are.
Elizabeth's family is finally receiving the support they've been looking for. David's job is going well. Elizabeth is taking classes, and for the first time, they have a little savings. They're at Hamilton Family's transitional housing for now.
now we're in this 3-bedroom apartment. You know, the boys have their own rooms. Robin has her own little area out in the living room. We have our own bedroom. Like, there's so much space. It's just such a relief to finally have the help that you've been waiting for and been hoping for and kind of gave up thinking even existed. And now it's the feeling of being able to breathe and be like, look, it's going to be okay. It's definitely been a physical release as well as mental to just be able to not have to be hyped up all day, worrying about the night, worrying about what's going to happen, you know, being able to just sleep soundly and not worry about, you know, someone's going to knock on your window or if you're there's going to be a fight in the hallway of the motel you're at or just all these things that are going through your head when you're out there like that. And to just be able to breathe and to sleep. I know a lot of people don't make it to this point that we've made it to because it's a lot and it's hard. And it's really sad to see a lot of the families and a lot of people that I knew along the way that, you know, have lost things and haven't been able to get through the struggle. And I feel really fortunate for us. And I know the kids feel fortunate too, for sure.
Even with as amazing as our time at Hamilton has been, the stability it's been able to provide, the programs they've had for our children, the ability to have a savings account for once, we're so grateful for, but the future is still uncertain. There's no existing programs for families quite like ours. The road ahead of us is definitely going to be challenging.
That was Elizabeth Herrera, a mom and a new media maker. You've been listening to Families Finding Home. This episode, entitled Elizabeth, was produced by Lisa Rudman and Elizabeth Herrera, with support from the Bay Area Video Coalition, Hamilton Families, and Google.org. Our executive producer is Paula Smith Aragoni. Corey Winter is producer for Hamilton Families. The excerpts from the film, What You'll Remember, were provided by filmmakers Erica Cohn and Marsha Jarmel. You can watch for free online at New York Times OpDocs page. That's nytimes.com/video/OpDocs. You can find more episodes of this podcast at BAVAC's website. That's BAVC.org and at HamiltonFamilies.org. Special thanks to Elizabeth Herrera, David Lima, and their kids, David Jr., Ezekiel, Gabriel, and Robin. Thanks to Nicole Opper, Elaine Beal, and Diane Livia. Our music today was by Blue Dot Sessions and Epidemic Sound.